First of all, notice that these are young men who are in a foreign land, and yet this king who has brought them there as captives sees something in Daniel. Something about Daniel's life, his spirit, stood out to the king. And so one thing you'll notice throughout the Bible, Joseph, Moses, anyone who God has his hand upon, anyone who's living for the Lord, any time that someone would try to knock them down or push them down or shove them out, they might be shoved out, but it would be temporary, and God would always bring them back in. These men in the Bible really do epitomize the adage that you can't keep a good man down. Not a good man, not a good godly man, because though humanity might try to push him down, God will always raise him up. So start there. Understand that if you are a godly man, a godly woman, and you set your affections upon the Lord, you live according to his word, that God will bear you up, and God will see you through, and God will protect you, and God will, he will promote you. He will bring you to the forefront. So let's go on. Verse 4. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Okay, so this whole thing of politics and what our president calls the swamp, you know, all of these things, these are not new concepts. These have been around way back in Bible day. We had politics and we had hate and we had conspiracies and we had people fighting to pull people down and put people up. This is not a new thing. This was happening in Daniel's day. So the king sees something in Daniel that he likes, and so he promotes Daniel. And these other men who had not been promoted, because the king doesn't just promote Daniel, he puts him over all these other men. And so they are jealous. They are jealous. And so I wanted you to see in this story, in this account, I want you to see how Daniel responds to people who not only don't have his best interests at heart, but that they have his worst interests at heart. They want to destroy him. So let's see how Daniel fights, or if he fights, how he fights. What does he do? So let's look at his response. Here's this conspiracy against him. They thought to set, the Bible says that they could find no occasion or fault for as much as he was faithful. But what they wanted to do, they sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. So the first thing they try to do is they try to find something in Daniel that he's doing wrong in the kingdom. Is he breaking any laws? Is he breaking any protocols? Is he undermining the king? If there's something that we can find for the king, some kind of a fireable offense that Daniel is doing, then we'll bring it to the king. But the Bible says they looked and they searched and they investigated, they looked as much, and they did everything that they could, but they could find none occasion nor fault. Why? For he was faithful, and there was neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now I want you to notice here, we're talking about his service to the king here, not to the kingdom of God, but to the kingdom of Babylon, where he was trusted by the king of this land to oversee his affairs. So Daniel, who could have said, you know what, you brought me here against my will. He could have had a bad spirit, a bad attitude. He could have set the king up for failure. He could have tried to talk behind his back or cause division. But Daniel was just faithful. He was faithful to whom God had placed him under during this time. Did you know that if we would be faithful in those positions where God has placed us, the reason why some people are not promoted is because they're always trying to promote themselves. They're disgruntled because of their station in life. They're upset because of their position. And so they shake their fist at the boss, and they shake their fist at the system, and they shake their fist at authority. And it's everybody else's fault. Daniel could have played the blame game here. He could have been upset. I've been brought out of my land. He could have said, well, God's put me in a position where I could destroy the king. But he does nothing There's no fault found in him regarding his behavior, his actions towards the king. So let me tell you this. Be faithful. Wherever you, if God has planted you in a job, be faithful in that job. He's planted you in a position, be faithful in that position. You don't have to bring people down. God could take care of that. You just be faithful. And the Bible says that there was no fault found in him. Let's look at verse 5. Then said these men, okay, we can't find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now, I've got news for them. They will find no fault in Daniel's behavior concerning the law of his God either, except for Daniel's following the law of his God may not always coincide with following the law of the king. So that's where they've got to cause this disconnect now. They realize that if we can find a way, because Daniel's never going to fail his God, so if we can figure out a way that him serving God would cause displeasure to the king, and they set about doing that. Look at verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king Darius, said unto him, King Darius, live forever. Okay, now watch them butter up the king here. They're political. They're pretty good. They butter up the king. Oh, king, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains, we've all got together here and we've all consulted together to establish a royal statute. Now, they're pretty good at their game because they're going to appeal to the ego of King Darius. They did not come say, now watch them. They didn't come and say, we want to destroy Daniel. We don't like Daniel. And they didn't come with a bunch of accusations against Daniel. They just came buttering up the king. I heard somebody say, be careful because the people that are at your feet right now could end up at your throat later. You've got to watch people. Not everybody that says they love you loves you. And not everybody that says they're there to serve you is there to serve you. These men have nothing but their interest at heart. They hate Daniel and they really don't care about the king. But they're going to butter up the king to get what they want. So they say, oh, king, live forever. And then they make it sound like we've all got together. And so this is what another thing they do. They want to form this alliance to come against Daniel. And they make the king think, if you don't do what we've asked you to do, you're going against the popular vote here. And so they say, look, we've done all these things. And we've consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now this sounds okay. This sounds pretty good. King, we want to honor you. You are such an honorable man that we've come up with this idea to honor you. We want you to make a decree that if anybody seeks anything of anyone else beside you, just for 30 days or so, you know, no big deal. Then he's to be cast into the den of lions. Well, that sounds pretty good to the king. Wherefore, I'm sorry, and verse number 8. Now, O king, establish the decree. Sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. So there was a law on their books that when the king would decree it, and he sealed it with his ring, whatever, that it could not be altered, it could not be changed. In other words, he could not decide to back out of it. So they said, man, just go ahead. This is a great law. This is a great, great statute. Go ahead and sign it with the law of the Medes and Persians. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree, not knowing that he was sealing Daniel's fate, or at least what looked like Daniel's fate. So let's see how Daniel handles this. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into the house, in his house, and his window being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Now, mind you, this was not to spite the king. This was not Daniel saying, oh yeah? No. Look at this last phrase. As he did aforetime. As he had always done, in other words. It was his routine. Daniel did not wait until there was a law not to pray to start praying. He had always prayed. So when it came down to deciding Do I honor the king of Babylon or do I honor the king of kings? There was no thought given. He's much like his friends, the Hebrew boys who said, "Oh, king," whenever they were faced with that decision, whether to bow down to the idol or not, or be thrown into the fiery furnace. Remember that? They said, "Oh, we're not even careful to answer you in this matter, O king. We don't have to think about it." Daniel's the same way. Don't have to give it any thought. I don't need to consult with elders. I don't need to secretly pray and ask for God's direction. He said, "I'm going to do what I've always done, what we've always done and been taught to do, is to pray three times a day toward Jerusalem." And so he just did what he had always done. No disruption. Now, he didn't go out in the middle of the streets. I want you to catch this here. He didn't go out in the middle of the streets and throw down a rug and look towards Jerusalem and start praying out loud, defying the king. He went in his own home. He went in his own chamber. He opened the windows, but that was not to make noise. That's what they did. They opened their windows toward Jerusalem and prayed toward Jerusalem. In fact, if you study it, the chamber was probably an upstairs chamber. These men would have had to climb and almost break their neck to catch Daniel praying, probably. And so Daniel wasn't trying to be a rebel. He was not trying to you know, "Y'all show you can't stop me." He was just saying, "Okay, there's the law. No big deal. I'm going to do this anyway." And I'm sure his attitude was, "Whatever happens, happens, but I'm going to trust the Lord." But he prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. This was not something new. So I guess I can stop here and say to you, don't wait until things are falling apart. Don't wait until you're in the middle of some trauma to begin a prayer life. Start now. And some of you are saying, "Well, Brother Hawkins, you know, here we are in the middle of this pandemic, and I've never really prayed much. Is this a bad time?" No, start now. Start praying now. I'm not saying that just because you've never prayed before, you shouldn't pray now. You should pray now, but you should pray now, and you should pray forever. If this pandemic stops tomorrow, you should still continue to pray to the Lord. Amen. Get a good prayer life and hang on to it. Make it part of your routine. And that's exactly what Daniel did. Then these men assembled. They found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near, and they spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day." He's thumbing his nose at you, king, three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased within himself. You understand, this king was so moved by Daniel's spirit that he loved Daniel. And he would never have signed this decree had he known it was going to cost Daniel his life. He's very displeased with himself. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. So he starts searching the books, the laws, trying to think. He's tormenting himself, laboring, trying to figure out a way to deliver Daniel. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king," we see you trying to squirm out of this. We see what you're trying to do. So they put it to him. "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God whom thou servest." I want you to see here. Now, for the rest of these verses, and the next several verses, I want you to notice the impact that Daniel's life has had on this king. Daniel's life, his example, his spirit, the impact it has had on this king. That this king who had been manipulated into, without his knowledge, signing Daniel's own death warrant, is so troubled by this, he's sneaking around saying, "Oh, Daniel, the God who you serve continually. I've watched your life. I've marked you. I've watched how you pray. I've seen how he's done this and this and this for you all. I believe he's going to deliver you. Now, this is the king who's throwing him into the den of lions, saying, I believe your God will deliver you. I'm locked into this now. I can't get out of it. I can't save you. But I believe your God,
wow,
is going to deliver you. Let's see what happens. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Now watch this. This is interesting. If I am, if I'm making a movie out of this story, if I'm making this into a movie, and maybe they have, I'm sure they have, but when it gets to the part of Daniel going into the lion's den, I'm going to buy lions and props. I'm going to do up this lion's den big because that's the climax. Everybody wants to see what happens in the den of lions. But the Bible leaves us completely out of the lion's den. This is interesting to me. We don't see what happens. I know people say, well, Daniel laid down on the lions, used them as a pillow. Oh, Daniel probably went up, petted him on the nose. Oh, they probably marched all around Daniel. Or they just went to sleep. We don't know because the Bible doesn't tell us here what happens in the den of lions. So there must be something else here that's just as, if not more, important for us to glean. He cast him into the den of lions. Then the story shifts from Daniel to the king. And it tells us what the king did all this night. While Daniel's in there, we don't know. Is he sleeping? Is he petting the lions? Is he naming them? Is he playing games with them? We just don't know. But we do know what the king did. And the Bible says, the king went to his palace in verse 18 and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. In other words, normally he would eat, music would come in and play, he would relax, and he'd go to sleep. He didn't eat, he had no music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He had a sleepless night. This man has been so impacted by Daniel's testimony and his life and his spirit. I want you to catch this because I really believe this is what I've been praying. God, help me to have a Daniel impact on the people in my life who are not serving you. We can, if we're not careful, we get in this mode of thinking we have to try to argue people into the church and preach everybody into the church. Now listen, I understand the power of preaching. I do, and I understand the power of conversation. Preached on it recently. And I do believe that we must be ready to do that when called upon. But I'm going to tell you that the most impactful thing that you will do to bring somebody around to the Lord, to change their mind, to open their heart, is not your words, it is your life. In fact, it's your spirit. How do you conduct yourself? What kind of spirit do you have? And folks, I'm telling you, if it's ever been important, in today's age, it is crucial because your spirit is so out there. If you're on social media, oh God, help us, the church, your spirit is on display. Listen to me, Christian. I'm talking to you born again, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, Holy Ghost filled Christians, please know your spirit is on display. Well, I have a right to tell people how I feel. Sure you do, but you have a mandate from the Word of God to present yourself as a Christian. You are Christ's ambassadors. And so your spirit is on display. I'm in a preaching mode. I'm in a preaching mood, but I got to stay in a teaching mode. Now, I'm in a quandary here. I don't know which way to go because I really want to gripe at some of you a little bit. I came in here tonight. My heart's heavy. I see some of y'all's Facebook posts, and I want to just call you up and say, what in the world are you thinking? Your spirit is on display. You need to pray before you post. My God, help me. I feel like I'm going to preach about Facebook for a minute. I'm checking my spirit. I'm okay. I'm all right. And see, this is live. We can't even edit this. All right, so Brother Barrow, you got your finger on the cough button up there. You cut me off if I get too carried away. Some of you all, you need to use your brain before you post with your fingers. Use your brain. Pray before you put that stuff out there. You talk to people about church and you talk to people about Jesus. You destroy it all in just one simple send. Because they're watching your spirit, not what you say. This king was impacted so much by Daniel's spirit that he was up all night concerned about his well-being. He fasted. He didn't even know what fasting was. He didn't even understand about praying to Daniel's God. He didn't understand all this. He just grabbed a hold of anything he saw Daniel do. He thought, I'm going to try this because I want Daniel. He loved Daniel so much because of his good spirit that he was up all night long. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. See, we don't even know what happened in the lion's den, but the Bible wants us to see what happens in the king's heart, in the king's mind. I believe the Bible is showing us what impact we can have on people's lives. O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, oh, this must have been music to the king's ears. O king, live forever. Wow. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. In other words, Daniel says, God knows my heart is right towards him, and so I didn't suffer his punishment, and God knows my heart is right toward you, and so he did not allow you to take my life this night. God took care of it. We can learn something from Daniel there as well, and that is we can let God sort things out. We can let God take care of things. Sometimes we are so concerned that we may have to go into a lion's den because, you know, oh, Lord, everybody's going to think this. Listen, God is able to see you through. And you don't have to, I understand that the Bible says that, you know, a good name is to be desired and a good reputation is to be, and I believe that. And I try to protect my reputation. And I do try to protect my name. But I have been maligned before. I have been lied on before very publicly sometimes by people who, they were just angry or they just were mad or whatever and would tell lies. And my first instinct of my flesh is to go defend myself. I want to get right on that public forum and say, you're lying and everybody knows you. But I, you know what? The Lord just had to check me on those times because God says, I can speak for you. Your reputation will speak for itself. Your life will speak for itself. And so we need to learn sometimes that when we go to try to kick and scream going into the lion's den, sometimes we just need to let God sort things out. You don't have to get on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else and set everybody straight and tell everybody off. God will handle that business. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Sister Barrow. Now, what did Daniel say in verse 22? Who shut the lion's mouth? Who sent his angel to shut the lion's mouths? God. God did that. Daniel didn't have to fight the lions. Daniel didn't have to defend his reputation. Daniel didn't have to defend himself. God sent his angel, and he shut the lions' mouths. Now, I believe these lions could be indicative and typical of these men who were trying to devour. In some ways, they symbolize these men who were trying to devour Daniel. You never once see Daniel badmouth those men, say ugly things about those men, and they deserved it. I mean, let's be honest. They were lying on Daniel, and they were trying to find fault in Daniel, and they were setting Daniel up for failure and conspired against Daniel. He had every right, and he could have come out of that lion's den and fired every one of them. But we don't ever see that kind of spirit. He just says, you know what, God took care of it. God sent his angel. God shut the lion's mouths. If God can shut lions' mouths, he can shut those men's mouths too. Man, this is good teaching right here. I wish I had a few of you in here to help me teach this tonight. This is good stuff. Anybody out there watching? Yeah. All right, I got some amens coming from some of you. All right, so where are we at? Verse number 23. Now, we're not done with 22. They have not hurt me for as much. I'll get it out. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, also before thee, O king, I've done no hurt. Verse 23. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Now I want you to see here. Daniel does not come out and spin around and say, "Those men, they lied. They conspired." He didn't say anything. Daniel's just cool as a cucumber. He's just a godly man. But the king does this. The king commanded, they brought those men which had accused Daniel, they cast them into the den of lions, their children, their wives. The lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. In other words, they didn't even get to the floor and they were devoured. Now watch this. I want you to see what happens. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages, unto all of them that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before God, before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. See this impact Daniel makes on the king's life. And steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel simply lived his life before God. He was a prayerful man, a faithful man. He had a good spirit, good towards God, good towards those whom he served, and God took care of him. And Daniel had such an impact on this man's life. Now that's what we need to be striving for. Christians, we need to be striving for impact, progress, something to show for our lives. Paul one time said, you know, I'm striving not as one that beateth the air. In other words, he was using the simile of fighting and sparring. And he said, you know, I'm not just beating the air. That's called shadow boxing is what we call it today. People that are training in martial arts or boxing or whatever, before they ever punch anybody in the nose, they just put on some gloves and they just by themselves. There's nobody even there. It looks kind of goofy if you don't know what they're doing. But that's called shadow boxing. And then pretty soon, somebody else will step in and they spar a little bit. This other person just kind of holds up little paddles, or they might have some gloves on, or they just spar around. Nobody trying to punch anybody out. But then they go to the actual part where the sparring partner, he starts hitting back. And that's more training. They're still training. But you start by simply hitting the air. And before you ever get in the ring with a real opponent and knock anybody out or get knocked out or whatever. But we start, and Paul said, I'm not just running or striving or training as one that beateth the air. I'm not just shadow boxing here. I want to make true impact. I want to make true progress. I really want to see results. So let's live our lives in such a way that we're making impact in people's lives, that we are impacting people in such a way that they see us and they see the God that we serve. And like Darius can say, oh, I want to serve the God of Daniel. I want to serve the God of, I want to learn more about this God of Ron Hawkins. I want to learn more about this God that you serve, that you pray to. Our lives need to be lived in such a way that we make an impact on people, that it piques their curiosity, yes, but it also makes a great impactful testimony into their lives. The King Darius said, oh, he rescues, this God delivers. Amen. So when they see you go through things and come out of those things with a good spirit, that will affect people's lives in such a way that they'll want to go to church with you. They'll ask you when the next church service is. You don't have to beg them. You don't have to drag them. They'll want to come. Amen. All right, good word tonight. Hey, we love all of you. We miss all of you that aren't able to get out yet. We want you to know we're praying for you. We understand where you are, and I understand that some of you are praying and being careful about getting back into service. We do want everybody to know, and I like to mention this every once in a while, what we're doing is as far as precautions go. First of all, we are all wearing masks, and we are wearing them throughout the service. The only person that's taking a mask off is me when I'm preaching. I put it back on after I preach, but everyone's wearing a mask in, through the service, and out. We're keeping our services to around an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. The Lord takes over. Of course, we let that happen. We're not hindering the Spirit, but we're keeping in mind that you're here with the mask on, and we're keeping in mind that we're all in a closed-in area together. But the other thing is that we're keeping our numbers down by dividing the church in half. We're also, we've got the chairs spread out to where you're not right on top of each other. We're social distancing. We're not getting everybody and gathering up around the front. We're not shaking hands. We're not hugging. We're doing our very best to be very, very safe and very careful. And the ones that have come back in, even people that have had some health conditions, said that they feel very safe in our services and the protocols we're taking. Now, that's not out of fear. That's just out of wisdom. We're trying to be careful. And so we are sanitizing the building very thoroughly between services. I'm just saying this because I want you all to know that we are doing our part, being very careful. You'll come in and find hand sanitizer throughout the building. The doors are open, so you don't have to touch handles. We're changing our filters very often to keep the airflow. We're doing everything that we can to be as safe as we possibly can. That being said, you have to weigh that out for yourself. Everybody has their own unique situations, and we do understand that. But we want you to know when you're ready to come back, we're ready to see you back, and we're going to be as careful and safe, and we do take your safety very seriously. But we're praying for you. We love you. We're glad you can tune in on the live stream. If you need us, call us. We're trying to call everybody once in a while, but getting back to church and all these things that are going on, we may not get to call you as often as we were. You can call us anytime. Call me, call your care pastor. We're here for you, and we love you. God bless you. Let me pray for you one more time before we dismiss. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. I thank you for your people, your body. I thank you for all of those that tuned in tonight. Lord, I pray that the word of God has come into our lives, changed us, help us to grow. I pray, God, you'd keep your hand upon each and every person in our church. Help us to be impactful in other people's lives, Lord, to be a witness and a testimony. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, and we give you the praise. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday morning as our next live stream at 10 o'clock. God bless you. Have a great week.